The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. It is currently about 11 minutes past 10 o'clock here at the studio. We have guests in the studio today from the Huron County Community Foundation. We have Mackenzie Price, the Executive Director. Brent Wainer is a trustee. We're going to be talking about their upcoming Bitters Bash and the work of the foundation. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
First of all, give us a little overview of what the Huron Community Foundation is all about.
The Community Foundation is a nonprofit group that started in 1994 with a donation from Martha Thummel. We've grown to $3.7 million in assets, and pretty much we're an endowed foundation that allows people to give to whether it be field of interest funds or a category of which they want to give some money, and we allow them to do so. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, so they see some tax benefit from that. And with our endowment policy, it keeps that money in the foundation growing forever and ever. So that's kind of our mission.
And is this something every community has countywide? How does that work?
Yes, in the state of Michigan specifically, every area is covered by a community foundation, whether it be a countywide organization or an area-wide organization. Everyone is covered, so everyone has access to this great program.
Okay. And this has been around at least a number of years, and you're up to how many million you said?
$3.7 million right now.
$3 million. Is that kind of on par for a small county like this, or are we doing a little better?
We are doing better. I was recently at the Council of Michigan Foundations, which is the statewide organization. I was at their conference, and there were multiple foundations that were smaller than us. Otsego County up north is at 3.4. So we're about average for our size. I do think we have some great opportunities for growth here in Huron County to continue to grow that number.
Now, what types of things have people utilized the foundation for?
People utilize it for whatever their passion may be, whether it's a field of interest, so they're very interested in supporting youth or recreation, or whether it's they have a specific nonprofit organization that they want to support, like Safe Place or their local church, or if they want to set up a scholarship, we can do those too. Basically, any passion that you might have, the foundation can help you with.
As long as it's community focused. You
can't
use this as your retirement fund.
Exactly.
Yes. As, saving for your kids and doing it on a tax-free basis, or these types of things. This is basically for a community project effort group.
Exactly. If it has the county and community in mind, we're able to help you.
Now, do you have to form your own to use your money for anything, or can you get involved with one that's already established that maybe covers the same ground that you'd like to?
Yep, you can do either one. Obviously, you can start your own, or if you already know what you want to give to, and we have a field of interest fund that fits that area, you're absolutely allowed to just make a donation to that fund as well.
And are the funds generically named, or are you giving to the so-and-so, so-and-so's fund, People might, if they're giving like a scholarship or something, might want to, have their parents' name on it or something. That would then necessitate their own, I would think.
Correct. So we have some that are named funds after specific people or groups. And then we also have generically named funds like the Health and Recreation Fund and the Medicine Fund, things like that. If you wanted to create a named fund, that would require you setting up your own and figuring out what you wanted to use that money for.
And they would contact the foundation to find out what much of a minimum you need to start for these certain types of things, and if you want it to be where they only use the interest, or if you want the funds to go directly out all the time. I mean, those are things that the foundation and the person involved deal with one-on-one.
Exactly.
Okay. Is it a long process? I mean, sometimes when you're talking paperwork and, you got to get the 401k, all that government paperwork stuff done, you got to deal with. You put on a few years before it's complete.
Luckily, we do not do that. We handle all of the back office work, and in order to set up a fund, it basically requires one signature on a fund contract that is less than 2 pages long. We try to make it very user-friendly because this is an organization for every member of this county, and we want to make sure it's accessible as such.
How are the funds distributed every year? Is there, obviously, if it's a program where, you know, you're giving scholarships to kids in a certain area or for a certain school, it's pretty well defined. But you're going to have to go through who applied. You're going to have to go through if you got just under the general health or the general school thing. Somebody's going to have to go through and determine, you know, of the people who seek funding for their programs, who's going to get some.
Right. So on the scholarship piece, you pretty much identified how that works. The owner of the scholarship fund does that piece themselves and picks the winner.
They can,
or if they wish us to, we can do that as well. We also have a grant making process every year, at least once a year, sometimes twice, where we put out the opportunities for people to request grants through the different field of interest funds, health and medical, parks and recreation. There's several of those. And so we have a public grant making period. They apply for a grant, and then we have a committee that meets and goes through their proposals and picks some of those out of there to grant the money to. So there's a couple different ways they can get their money out.
Now, how much generally does $3 million generate? Because I don't think you fund fully a project. You may do the scholarships fully because that's what they were designed for, but when people are seeking funds, they're just seeking to help their program, not to have you run it.
Exactly. So last year, I know our scholarship numbers specifically, we gave out over $44,000 in scholarships to Huron County seniors. So that was phenomenal. And our total expenditures this year on grants and scholarships, I believe, was around the 60 to 65.
And it's up to the person to decide if it's a one-time scholarship, if it's for 4 years, all these other factors that go into it. It's simple. But you have to kind of plan this out as to how you want it to do. If it's a student, you want to give them 4 years as long as they're making B's or something. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, thought that has to go into this.
Correct. So for a scholarship specifically, someone could call me up and say, I want to support someone who's in X program at X high school. And I ask them the questions that I need to know. And then that all goes into the contract that I type up for them. And they say, hey, this looks good. And sign it. And we're good to go.
And they could be seeking a certain type of education. That could be part of it.
Those exactly.
Types of things that, if they're going into nursing or they're going into engineering or agriculture, pick up here for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Crazy, huh?
Hey, who'd have thought? But all these things, you know, and you help them through the process with this because you've been through it, through the foundations as to the little details that make things flow smoothly.
Right, we're there step-by-step, administrative support all the way, just so that, like I said earlier, it is easy for everyone to do.
Now, for the general ones, for health or whatever, is that something the board does? They look through and they do it, or do you have a special panel that looks through these things?
Well, we have a grant-making committee that goes through and looks at all the applications and then determines which ones we feel are worthy of getting the money that particular year, and then we take it to the board, obviously, for their final approval, and then make the disbursement from there.
Do you have to do this at a particular time of year? Some things are on an October 1st calendar year. Some things are on a calendar year. You may be tied to the investments when, you know, you're going to actually get your next chunk of interest. I mean, all these things come into play.
Right. We actually just switched our fiscal year, so we're in the process of changing that over. Our fiscal year will now end December 31st. So the only stipulation that requires for us is that if an organization is requesting their funds or if we want to give out more grant dollars, those all have to be done before we close the book at the end of December. Other than that, the disbursements can be made at any point during the year.
And if they don't do it by the end of December, it carries over to the next year anyway.
It gets rolled back into their fund to continue to accrue interest.
Do most organizations take the full funds that they get in interest, or do some of them roll it over and try to make it grow even further? Because some organizations are run really tight. Safe Place for years has had, you know, they need the funds, whereas other organizations may be able to sit back and watch it grow for a bigger project they might want to do.
Honestly, we see both of those scenarios happen. It just depends on the particular fund or who's in charge of it and what their particular desires are at the time. Sometimes they do just let the interest carry over and build up and build up. Maybe they have a specific goal in mind they're trying to get to, while other people spend a portion or all of the interest every year on their scholarship or whatever their fund is. So we see both scenarios.
Is this something that some people plan for in their wills and such? Is this something that you could maybe set up in advance this way? I mean, we have, you know, people often don't think, you know, they think of this and they think of, you know, businessmen, ties and suits and everything else. You know, they have the funds, but, you know, if you're passing away, you have nobody to leave stuff to, and you've got land and property and such. It might make a nice fund to do a project that there's close to their heart.
Absolutely. That's how the majority of community foundations grow nationwide, is through bequests and being left in people's wills. You see it specifically with school funds. So we have there's a Laker school fund, there's an Ubley school fund, and a Harbor Beach school fund. We see a lot of teachers who are actually roping that into their wills because they're tied to this organization that has given them so much throughout the year, and they've poured their heart and soul into. It's a very simple process to do that. It's one paragraph inserted into the language of the will.
But you need to take care of that in advance.
Exactly. We have to take care of that in advance.
After the fact doesn't work.
We also can take stocks. We can take land and property. So we're very versatile in what we can receive. We've taken crops before from farmers. So we can do a lot of different things. If you have a passion and something that you can give us in return, there's a high probability we can make that happen for you.
But it needs to be spelled out properly in the latest will and the latest trust, however they've set their affairs up, so that it's a smooth process.
Exactly.
Because you don't have funds to fight. You know what I mean. You're there saying they wanted to do this. This is terrific. We are here for you. But it doesn't need to become a, you know, that word isn't right in the
right
language, and here we sit.
And even when we work with lawyers, they're very good about working with community foundations, because there are community foundations nationwide. They understand that we have protocol, and they agree with the protocol, and we're using the same language as every other foundation. I had a call from Colorado last week about a woman who was originally from the Harbor Beach area and wanted to set up a fund in her will. So I quick emailed the language out, and that was done in 5 minutes to Colorado. So imagine how fast we can do it here.
I guess that kind of raises a question I hadn't thought of. Does the thing you're trying to, since it's a Huron County Community Foundation, does the people or the organizations you're trying to support have to be in Huron County? Say you're a big Michigan or Michigan State fan and you wanted to create an endowment, but do it locally. You don't have to run to Lansing or Ann Arbor to do it. Can that be done here, or does it really need to be distributed locally?
No, it doesn't. That's one of the great components of community foundations, is we're allowed to give to anywhere. We could set up a fund from here to Africa. That would probably require a little bit more paperwork, but we are not bound geographically. So if you do have an interest in investing those funds locally and helping us while also supporting a cause that may be a little further downstate, that's completely doable.
You know how fun it would be to send a guy in Nigeria and tell him, you have money waiting for you.
You have a community foundation fund from the thumb of Michigan.
And have him roll his eyes.
Yeah.
Like happens so much when we open ours. Okay. So obviously you work there. So there's overhead to this. And that's what the bidder's bash is about, is to try to cover some of that. So you don't have to take as high of administrative fees for the interest accrued in these other accounts.
Exactly.
And does it work for you? I mean, do you get a nice chunk of change out of the bidder's bash every year?
We do. The last several years, we've raised between $14,000 and $15,000 for operations. As a foundation, we have two major fundraisers, the bidder's bash and our golf outing, which happens on the fourth Wednesday in May. So between those two, we raise somewhere between $25,000 and $30,000 for the operations of the foundation, which is critical, so that we don't have to take additional funds out of, you know, the funds that are within the foundation.
But that's a portion of the cost of operating it. I mean, obviously, you know, there, besides salaries, you know, for people who are working this, there's, you got to buy letterhead, you got to have space to rent, you know, where you actually can store your files. All the physical presence of an office that need to be taken care of still is there, even though, you know, it may not be a brick and mortar place on the downtown street.
Right. So that's why we have fundraisers like this, just so that we can continue to support that. We also have an administrative endowment. So we have a fund for ourselves within the foundation that we take the interest off of for our organization and our operations every year.
So if they wanted to make sure the foundation and the gifts that other people give, more of it goes to just that little bit of administration can still go on to their cause, they could help directly that way.
Exactly. They are more than welcome to give to our administrative fund.
Do most of the things do it annually? They take the interest? Because there are ways, I imagine, you could say, every year I'm going to be getting an endowment come in and I'm going to give to this, so I want it all given out. Does it work both ways? Or say every year you're going to be getting an established payoff from something and you can give $2,000 a year. Can they pass that through you and then just do it as tax-free, or at least with the tax credits for
right.
it, so that they can take advantage of the situation.
Right. So we do have pass-through funds, which is where the money comes into us and then we can send it right back out to whatever cause you're passionate about. The administrative fees on that are a little bit more expensive just because there is more paperwork on our end to do the gift acknowledgement and then immediately send it out just because there's more transactions. But that is something that we do. We often see people who are setting up new endowed funds designate $5,000 to set up the endowment, but also another $1,000 that will be passed through so that the impact can be seen immediately.
So it's like if you're doing a scholarship, you don't have to wait for that $5,000 to grow until you can give a nice chunk of change to a student. You can also give the extra $1,000 to be passed through right away and maybe give two $500 scholarships this year and until that other starts to grow.
We see that happen quite frequently. So yes, that is something that happens quite a bit.
Is this typical for a foundation or do in larger cities they have more complicated stuff?
More and more foundations are getting to the pass-through aspect of being able to send that money right out into the community right away, just because we see the needs. We are a county organization. We exist to meet the needs that our stakeholders and the people who live here see, and sometimes those needs are immediate. So those require pass-through funds that go out immediately.
Again, they just need to talk to you to find out what will work best for what they're looking to do, and long-term plans. So
that's exactly correct. Give me a call anytime.
And do you have an office they can go to, or are you getting space donated by somebody, or are you in the back of a trailer somewhere?
Back of a trailer is close. We currently are in a back office capacity, so you can't come see me directly, but I'm out and about most of the times covering our large county up here, so I'm always around. Just give me a call and we'll set up an appointment and I'll meet you wherever you'd like.
And you're on the internet, so
yes.
If you want to go to the Huron County Community Foundation, they can get your number. They can maybe get an idea of what other people are doing in their contributions and see if maybe there's something there already, or do I want to do my own?
Exactly. We have all of our funds listed up there so they can see what we're already doing and explore some different types of funds, whether it's a donor advised where the donor actually gets to decide what money the project goes to every year, which is something we haven't touched on yet. We have a lot of different options for whether you want to be hyper involved or if you want to put it as an afterthought to continue to leave your legacy after you're gone.
Now, you go to these meetings with the other foundations. Do you guys kind of go over what new and interesting things people are doing in foundations that others might not think of?
Absolutely.
Because, you give people a little chance to be creative and they can surprise you.
And that's one of the reasons that if you're even considering charitable giving at all, or if you just want to talk about what legacy you want to leave on Huron County or how the foundation should be involved in the future of Huron County, please give me a call. Even if it's just to bounce off ideas and you realize that the foundation's not for you, any high waters raise all ships, so we're out to kind of help everyone and improve the overall quality of life in Huron County.
Well, I gave you the idea of the old radio announcer's retirement fund, but you got the snicker the last time, too, so.
I don't think we can do that one.
Oh, all right. What do you have going on at the Bidders Bash? When's it coming up?
It's coming up this Friday night. It's at the Franklin Inn.
Tickets still available?
Tickets are still available. You can call the foundation office, or you can get them at the door. The only thing with getting them at the door, we would like to kind of get a head count. So if you know you're coming and are going to get the tickets at the door, if you could give us a quick call and let us know, just so we can kind of plan for you accordingly. But we'll definitely have tickets available.
How much food to make, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Because you hate waste.
Exactly.
But it's coming up this Friday, and is it white tie? Is it come as you are? Is it as long as your wallet is the right color of green? I mean, how does that work?
It's pretty much as casual as you want to make it. I'm sure there'll be a few people wearing ties just because that's what they do, but most of it's very casual jeans, very casual. It's a fun event. We'll have all members of the county and the community there. So we're excited. It's a good mix of people that always show up every year. They support our cause. We do love you to bring your wallet, of course, if you're interested in bidding or buying anything, but that's not even a requirement. Once you purchase your ticket, you're really obligated to do nothing more than that if you don't want to. If you don't want to just come and watch, you're more than welcome.
If you do bid on something, is it COD, cash on delivery? Do you need a credit card? Do you need a statement from your bank for some of the bigger things that, you know, you want to make sure that, this will fly?
We accept cash, checks, and credit cards, so any form of money you want to deliver us, we're good to go.
Bitcoin?
Maybe not Bitcoin. I should have been a little more specific there.
I was
also, don't bring your cow to try to trade in.
Right. No bartering.
No bartering.
Yeah. Oh,
official money tenders.
All right. Legal tender only.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, how is this set up? Is there a dinner first and then the activities, or do some of the activities kind of fold in and kind of happen around you while you're eating?
Yep, that's a great question. As you first get there, every ticket comes with a free drink, so you're welcome to go up and get a drink. The silent auction is open pretty much immediately upon arrival, and then as the night goes on, they'll start bringing out the food and appetizers and set those up so you can grab something to eat, sit down, walk around with a plate if you wish, and look at the silent auction items. So a lot of different options. It's very informal as far as that goes. And then probably about 8 o'clock, I'm guessing, they'll start the live auction.
Do you just sign your name on the silent auction, or do you have to get a card with a number? Because once you start, hey-dee-ho-dee-hey-dee-ho-dee-hoo-dee, you know, they're going to usually want a number or something that they can identify you with.
We're using names this year. So for silent auctions, there's a silent auction table every 30 minutes. So there's always something going on. One's opening, closing, and then the next 30 minutes start. So we have three silent auction tables. There's a 50-50 drawing. There's a card raffle. There's our live auction. And then there's a not-so-silent auction. So really, there's something happening at every point during the night. There will never be a dull moment.
So the not-so-silent auction is mumbling?
No, it's a large board, and everyone comes up and writes their bids on it, so you lose the anonymous portion because everyone sees you up there. We also have...
usually on the silent auctions, it's a piece of paper. You see who bids.
You see who bids.
There, but this everybody.
But this even draws more attention to it. And then we have someone normally dressed up as Vanna White showcasing the items around.
Brent this year,
hopefully not, but you never know.
We'll get him some gloves. It'll be very pretty. Taking it around to tables, really displaying what options are there. Maybe starting a few bidding wars, and it becomes a spectacle for the entire audience to enjoy.
Okay. And I assume the Franklin shields off a little part of their place, so you got a little privacy, and you don't have people meandering over who don't belong.
No, we're in their banquet facility, and they've done a great job the last several years hosting us, and it's plenty of room, so everything's spread out. You have lots of room to meander around. The silent auction items are displayed very nicely, so you have some room to move and look around, and it's really worked out well at the Franklin.
Because if one thing I know is if people see an open door and there's stuff to graze on, they will come in. you have items that you're going to be auctioning off. What type of items are you going to have? Are there little items for people who don't have a lot of money? Is there big items for people who want to make a big contribution? How does that work?
We have a little bit of everything. We have men's, women's, small, large. We have trips. We have a week in Florida that was donated. So we have a week in Florida at a condo. We have a fishing trip. Then we also have carrot cakes and hot pads and a blower, mulcher, vacuum cleaner all in one for the men who love trinkets.
You know, if you don't have one in your garage, you need one.
It sounds like a necessity to me.
Even if you're in a condo and somebody else does it, I want to have one.
Right. That's what we're hoping to tap into.
And like Mackenzie said, there really is something for everybody. We have food items. We have art. We have jewelry.
Like you had like an iPad on here and things. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's electronics. There's just a little
sports memorabilia.
Yeah, I understand you've got some nice stuff there in that regard.
We have a signed Steve Yzerman jersey, which was donated by Lundy Financial Services. So we're really excited about that. We have a signed hockey puck. We have a signed Victor Martinez picture. And then our card raffle this year. So there's 52 chances to win this Miguel Cabrera jersey, authentic Miguel Cabrera jersey.
So you buy a card? Is that basically how it works?
Correct. And then the card gets ripped in half.
Oh, you don't even buy two decks.
No.
You're frugal.
That's very.
Because, you know, my luck, I'd get the Joker or that one that says you can play Pinochle and Euchre on it. And that's the one I'd end up with. All right. Okay. Are you still accepting items? Can people still donate if they have something nice that might help you out? Or do you have it kind of locked down?
I think we kind of have it locked down. If you have something really big and nice that you'd like to give us, we might be able to find room for it, but...
Do the whole Vanna White thing. Oh, Brent!
Right. We'll make Brent sell it if it's something really nice. But we basically have it locked in now,
so
just so we can
set.
Have all of our signs printed up. But we will be doing cash donations and check donations and credit card donations if you'd just like to pledge to the foundation at the end of the night. So if you come and don't see anything that you like but would still like to support us, that's completely an option.
And that would be maybe for health or whatever options or administration, whatever you wanted it to go to. Is that how it works at the end there, or is it just your discretion?
It would pretty much go to the operation funds like we're fundraising for.
Needs,
yep.
You know,
yep. Exactly.
Right. So it would. The majority of this event all goes to the administrative fund.
The administrative fund. That's what it's for. Is to keep it going.
Indeed.
Okay. So you don't have to dress up. You can come there, and what is the cost per person?
$20 a person or $30 a couple. And we also did offer tables of eight for $100. So if a person or a company wanted to buy a table of eight and bring your friends, you get quite a discount for doing that. So we have three different options.
But that would be something to call ahead about.
For sure.
That's a large group coming in, and you're going to want to know that everyone's going to get a full...
That everyone's going to get some hors d'oeuvres, and so everyone will have a drink. So we want to make sure that happens.
Okay, and everybody sits together.
I right.
And also, you can square that off, and, you know, this is reserved for these people.
Exactly right.
Terrific. Well, I wish you well. It sounds like you're going to have another fine event with all the stuff you have lined up. Hopefully, we'll help you get a few more people out there who will donate. The foundation has been around for over half a decade. I mean, it's been growing, and we are... fortunate to have it in the area to help a lot of these organizations that can just use a little boost here and there to let their, you know, they're not going to be fully funded by the organization, by the foundation, but every little bit helps for these organizations. They all seek every which way they can get some funding, grants or the foundation, so it all goes back into the community, and that's a good thing.
It's a great thing, and we really appreciate you having us in here today for a few minutes to talk about our passion.
Does the foundation itself need people to help? Usually organizations, you know, sometimes have a little trouble getting the grunt work done and all of that stuff. Do you need people? Is the board looking for people eventually? I mean, how does that work?
We have a great foundation of people right now, but we're always looking for new ways to get people involved just so that we can continue to have that community support and the community buy-in to our organization. So if you are interested in getting involved with the foundation, either as a volunteer or as a board member, we may not be looking right now, but there's always an ongoing list.
Yeah, well, people move on, or they have other obligations. Life changes happen. You know, dresses up as Vanna White and I have a whole new career.
I can only hope so.
And the possibilities are there. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having
us. Greg.
Again, it's this Friday. Franklin Inn starts at what time?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Be there. Bring your green and have some fun.
Exactly.
Our guests today on the program have been Mackenzie Price. She's executive director. Has been for like 5 months.
Five and a half months,
Five and a half months of the Huron County Community Foundation. And Brent Weiner, who's a trustee. Again, the Bidders Bash and Silent Auction, all of that coming up. The Franklin Inn starts at 6, runs till about 9:30-ish or so, depending on how vocal people get and how long the bidding takes. If they're going to do a bidding war going, you could be there till midnight. Who knows? But you can stop out and contact the foundation if you're going to bring a large group and want that discount for like $100 for eight, I believe it is. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news. Keep it here at WLEW.